little uptight, but it's all right, and it definitely is all right when we're talking with Terry Hennenkamp of Ghosts of North Dakota. And it's not maybe what you think if you've never heard of Ghosts of North Dakota before. I'm not bringing Terry on because 2 days from now it's Halloween and the ghouls and goblins and ghosts come out. It's quite the contrary for it. And Terry, if no one has ever heard of Ghosts of North Dakota before, what is just kind of the background of what you guys have done for a number of years?
It's been about documenting the history around the state of North Dakota. It's funny because, you know, we always have to tell people that we're not really paranormal related, but we actually started because of paranormal relation. We were looking for a haunted location, an old abandoned place, and we ended up coming across two towns, Sherbrooke and Blaben, North Dakota, and we were fascinated. Sherbrooke, for instance, was, you know, at one point the county seat, and now here it's town that basically had two abandoned buildings left and what looked to be the remains of a courthouse. And it kind of blew our minds, like, how could this go from being a county seat to a complete ghost town? And then it became about going to all these different places across the state and documenting the remaining structures that are left and kind of trying to find out a little bit more of the history and giving people who were interested in information about these places a place that they could go online and find out more information so they wouldn't have to spend hours in the library trying to research, basically. So throughout all this time, we've documented well over 100 different town sites, and we've kind of expanded our range into not just ghost towns or abandoned places, but also some of those buildings of history that may not be in use anymore, and just offering up a chance to document and take pictures of these places before they're gone and nothing's left.
And you kind of mentioned about that, Terry. I mean, I know it is Halloween in a couple of days. Just to ask one or two questions about it, have you ever felt or gone into a place where you felt like there was something else there, even though you couldn't see anything or feel anything or hear anything? Did you ever seem like there's maybe more to this than what we maybe got ourselves led into?
You know, realistically, it happens all the time. A lot of these places, and that's kind of what draws you in, even though they may be abandoned, visually and even physically, you can still kind of feel that presence. You can imagine the family that was raised in that home. You can see that visual past of the kids that used to play in that yard that's now completely overgrown. And, you know, even just the feeling, you can feel that, you know, a family was raised there, and it's kind of interesting because, you know, it doesn't always feel like that empty place. There's always that little bit of warmth there. I think the greatest example was on our visits to the tuberculosis asylum up near Dunseith, and that was one place that we had heard so many different stories about, and basically, you know, there are stories of you can hear the kids' laughter and you can, you know, all sorts of slamming doors and things of that nature. And it's funny because while it is a terrifying place and you know of the history that's involved there and the amount of people that spent time there, there are so many things where when you look at it from a realistic standpoint, you start to be able to explain certain things like the echoes of kids' laughs. Well, it's an abandoned structure that is massive in size, and pretty much all the windows are busted out, and you quickly realize that, you know, you may be about 1,000 feet away from a bunch of pigeons that are inside this building, and they're cooing, and the way they echo through the hallways resembles that of children's laughter. Or as a wind gust blows through the building, you'll hear doors just start slamming from the other side of the building. So, you know, you can kind of see why those stories would come up and, you know, explain away some of the different things. And I think one of the greatest questions we always get from people is, you know, why don't you have pictures of ghosts? And we always say, well, if we had pictures of ghosts, don't you think we'd put them up on the website right away? And there are some cases where we do have some pictures where people claim that, you know, they can see an apparition in one of the windows. And, you know, I think it depends on your mental state on it, how you look at things. You know, I can look at things and go, well, there's the shadow coming off this tree that causes this figure-like apparition. Or some people will, you know, argue with you and say, no, that's a ghost. You guys got a ghost. So I guess it depends on what kind of a mentality you have towards the spiritual realm.
And on top of that, I mean, not just necessarily with Halloween coming up and the paranormal activity, when someone asks, you know, what is Ghosts of North Dakota, or they check out one of your books or see the photos that you guys take, see the research that is alongside with a number of your photos, what do you hear a lot from people, Terry, when they're coming back to you saying, hey, that was my such and such grandparents' place, or hey, you know what, that was my wife's grandfather's place? I mean, what are some of the things that you get to hear most about?
See, I think the truly fascinating part of Ghosts of North Dakota to us, and the true surprise to us, has been just the comments from individuals. And we always tell people, you know, if you go to ghostsofnorthdakota.com and look at the different galleries, the one thing that you should never forget is go all the way down to the bottom and read the comments that come into the page. Because for us, it's kind of like writing a research paper without having to do any of the actual research. The people have been amazing, so we can go out to these locations, take a picture, put it up on the website, and then a day or two later, we'll have a comment saying, well, that was the old post office. It was run by my grandma, Esther Johnson, from 1942 to 1963. And these people really help fill in the storyline of these towns and help give us the personality that we might not be able to see at that point in time. And the really great and amazing thing has been how people have been able to reconnect via the website. You'll see, you know, somebody post a comment about how they grew up in that town, and then later you'll see another comment saying, oh my God, is this Tom Johnson who went to high school back in 1978? And these two people who haven't seen each other since high school are able to reconnect, or certain towns have been able to advertise their centennial parties and connect people that way. So just that amazing resource for us, you know, we get to go out and take pictures of these amazing forgotten places, and then it kind of brings a lot of people together to be able to see those past images.
Talking with Terry Henningkamp of Ghosts of North Dakota. Again, ghostsofnorthdakota.com, or you can go to their Facebook page. It's not like it has 100,000 plus likes. Oh, wait, it does on Facebook by searching Ghosts of North Dakota. And Terry, when you start taking a look at when you guys started a number of years back to where you are now, would you ever imagine the amount of feedback that you would have had, or also from where you started to how many states and how many places have you guys gone to now, Terry?
You know, it was amazing, because when we started with Ghosts of North Dakota, we thought, well, this is something that, you know, we'll go out for a couple of years, we'll photograph everything that's available, and then we'll be done, and who knows where we'll go from there. And here we are, I believe, 13, 14 years later, still going out and documenting places. And then we've been able to grow. We've reached in. We have ghostsofmn.com, which is Ghosts of Minnesota, and we've kind of expanded also into ghostsofnorthamerica.com. So we've kind of expanded the range. Our latest book, Churches of the High Plains, actually features about five different states and then some provinces up in Canada. And it was kind of the idea of the cool thing about the church's idea was, in this book, no matter what, we guarantee that there is a church in there that you'll see that'll go, that reminds me of a church near my hometown. And despite all the different kinds of churches, the varying religions, there seems to be that common theme in different areas that somebody can always identify with. And, you know, you talk about even that spirituality. I think that's the perfect example. We joke that churches are kind of like, you know, the light beacons for the Midwest. And basically, you see one off in the distance and you're kind of drawn to it, because it was that thing. It was the sanctuary for everyone. It was the gathering place for everyone. And it was also where a community basically learned about each other's lives and watched people grow up and watched things change around them. So even today, it may be a completely abandoned church, but you get that warmth, and you get to see how these buildings manage to remain throughout time, and still, despite all the weather and everything else, they're still standing out there in the middle of the prairie.
Is there any projects that are on the way, or do you have people kind of asking, hey, can you go to this and such town and check this place out? I mean, how many times do you get people inquiring you about, hey, when are you going to go to, you know, the northwestern part of Minnesota, or go back out west to, the western part of North Dakota? Or you probably have some stuff in your own backyard in the Fargo-Moorhead area that you would like to check out.
You know, we really do, and we get comments from people all the time, and a lot of times we use those comments and kind of end up checking those places. Unfortunately, in a lot of instances, people will say, well, you need to check out this location. There's nothing really left. Well, unfortunately, when there's nothing left, there's not much for us to photograph. But, you know, there's still areas that surprise us. Troy recently went out into Minnesota, and he ended up going north of Hibbing. And he said he was completely blown away by just how much forest and almost desolation there is out there. And I don't mean desolation in a bad sense. It's just really isolated, and it's amazing how you can forget, you know, that there's anything around you because there really isn't. And, you know, these are some of the strongest individuals that you can imagine because they know how to live out in those areas without having that assistance, without having plows on the road and things like that. So it's kind of no matter how much we travel or how far we go, it's amazing to us to see that all the different things you've come across, even like just talking with somebody recently about Osgood. And, you know, they were talking about how all the development and everything like that. And we're wondering how Osgood got its name. And I said, well, Osgood used to be a town and it doesn't exist anymore. It was completely vanished. Well, now here it's completely sprung up again, but there used to be something there. But unfortunately, there's not a lot of images for people to be able to see and go back and maybe remember what used to be there.
Terry Hennenkamp of Ghost of North Dakota. If people want to get more information, what's the best couple of places to go, Terry?
One great way, you can always go to ghostofnorthdakota.com and go through there. We have contact pages there, connections as well to our Facebook. You can contact us that way as well. One thing to throw out, too, as we start approaching the holiday season, we do have a great store there as well where you can find all the different books, Ghosts of North Dakota, Volumes 1 through 3, and the new Churches of the High Plains books. But we also have connected with various local authors and have books available there from them as well, and other sorts of random things, collectibles, reproductions of old tin signs. So it's kind of from that history person, there's a ton of different items that you might be interested in there.
Very, very much so. Again, Ghosts of North Dakota, search them on Facebook, or as Terry said, just go to ghostofnorthdakota.com. Terry Hennenkamp, I thank you so much for your time, and enjoy the Halloween weekend.
You as well, Chase. Have a good one.
Thanks, Terry. That's, again, Terry Hennenkamp of Ghosts of North Dakota.